I tell you, I appreciate Barbara for singing that song. Children's Church is going to go ahead and be dismissed now if you want to go and be a part of that. If you got to be here Friday night, it was a real blessing. Our community choir sang here at the church and just did a wonderful job. And they did a great job. We really do appreciate that. If you look in your bulletins, you'll find today's message. If you want to look in your Bibles, you need to turn to to Luke chapter 2. To Luke 2 and also 1 Samuel 17. Luke 2 and 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for just a minute. Father, we thank you and praise you for all that you've given us. Father, we have tried to worship and honor you and glorify the name of Jesus Christ with our song and our prayers and all that we've done. Father, we've come to the time of the service to where we need you to speak to our hearts, Lord. That God, as we open up your word, that you will make it a light unto our feet, that God, you would pierce our hearts and help us to understand what it means and help us to apply it to our lives. Father, I know there's not a single person in this room that's here by accident today, but you knew each one of them that would be here. And Father, you've got a special message for each of us. And Father, I pray that you would show us what that is and how we can apply that to our lives. In Christ's name we pray, amen. In John chapter 10, Jesus himself said this. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, but a hireling who is not a shepherd does not One who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. For the sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. As you look throughout Scripture, there is a common word, a common theme, a common idea, especially in the New Testament. It's this idea of the suffering servant. It's this idea of the shepherd, that Christ is more than just God incarnate on earth. He is the good shepherd, the one who cares for the sheep. So it should be no surprise to us today as we look and we see the Christmas story of, and we're going to read it today, as we see the Christmas story, it should come as no surprise that one of the main characters, one of the main witnesses that God chose to have there would be the shepherds. Now as we read this very quickly, let me just tell you for just a second about shepherds. Shepherds were out in the fields most of the time. We think of having showers and things like that today, and I want to tell you something. Back then, shepherds might take a bath in a creek once a year, twice a year, three times a year, and in the wintertime, I can guarantee you it didn't happen. When shepherds walked down the road, people gave them plenty of space to cross. Isn't that right? Shepherds were kind of looked down upon in their society in a lot of ways. They were considered to be a lesser than. This was a society, especially in the city where Jesus was born. This is a society that's becoming more and more intertwined within the city. It's still an agricultural society, but you're seeing more and more of the people gravitate towards the cities. In the cities, you have wealth and fortune and a lot of times fame and those type things. And the shepherds did not have that. They were considered to be lesser thans. In some cases, they were not always welcome into the temple. I mean, nobody wanted to be around dirty shepherds. They were allowed to be in one part of the temple, but not the deepest parts of the temple. And yet, this is who God has as a part of the story. So let's look back, if you will. I want you to look and see who God chose to announce the birth to. In Luke chapter 2, it says this. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from heaven into, from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherd. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen as it was told them. There are several things that stand out in the story. We always talk about Mary and Joseph, as we should, the parents of Christ, and Mary literally being found by God to be of such stature as a woman to be allowed to be Jesus' mother. Joseph being found of such stature as to be allowed to be Jesus' father. Can you imagine the pressure that they probably felt? And we talk about the other people who were there at the birth of Christ. And it's notable, first of all, to see the people that weren't there. There were no kings, there were no princes, there were no theologians, there were no rabbis, there were no religious leaders of any kind. It was just a couple and a small baby there in a stable. And in walk the shepherds. Now, can you imagine the story that they told Mary that day? Imagine Mary, and I've talked about this a couple weeks ago, but imagine what she was probably thinking, what was going through her mind. She had just given birth to a new baby. She had just ridden for several days on the back of a camel, 9 months pregnant, gets there, delivers a baby in a stable because they didn't have any room for them in the inn. There's people everywhere, and her and Joseph are sitting there probably trying to kind of catch their breath, kind of just amazed at what's just happened. They've got this new baby. They realize it's God's son and all the things of not knowing what's going to happen. What's this child going to be like? Is it going to be talking right from the very beginning? I mean, is he going to come out spouting scripture? Or will it be like a normal child? They don't know. And all of a sudden, burst through the doors there of the place where all those animals were, some shepherds, some nasty, stinky, having a great time, excited shepherds who were passionate about what God was doing right then, who were excited about what they had just seen. Imagine how that must have been for Mary as the shepherds burst through the door. Can you imagine the first words? "Here she is! Here she is!" And Mary's kind of startled. "You know, we don't know anybody in Bethlehem. What do you mean, here she is? I mean, have we done something wrong or whatever?" And the shepherds are like, "No, we were out in the fields." And another shepherd steps up and he says, "Yeah, and then the angels showed up. And we saw them in the sky. The first angel talked to us, but then a group of angels burst forth through the sky. And they start telling us that the Son of God is going to be born, the Savior of the world will be right here in a stable, in a manger. We found you exactly like they said we would." Can you imagine Mary's questions? Well, what did the angel say? Tell us more about that. And they said, "Glory to God in the highest, on peace, goodwill towards men." I always think about the angels that day. When you look at the book of Revelation, you see the Lamb that comes before the throne, the only one who was allowed to open up the scrolls, the one who had paid the price. We know him as Christ. But when John sees that, the heavenly host around him, literally, it ripples through the heavenly host about who is able. And I think in my mind of thousands upon tens of thousands upon millions of angels in heaven. And this night they're excited because the promise of God to mankind has come. That the Word of God has just taken human form. Imagine what that night must have been. Imagine the angels that would have been chosen. Who gets to be in the choir that makes the announcement? Who gets to stand up to the forefront? Can you imagine as they're up in heaven just before the curtains roll back in heaven and they see these lowly shepherds? Can you imagine what it must have been like behind the curtain? Everybody getting in their spot and everybody trying to get close and everybody wanting to see what they could see. And then suddenly the heavens roll back and they get to yell out these words, "Glory to God in the highest! Glory to God in the highest!" Can you imagine what those shepherds heard? The thousands upon tens of thousands upon millions of voices coming together with glory to God in the highest. When Adam was born, I was so excited as a new dad. I was so excited to tell everybody. I called up my dad and said, she's on the way. Aunt Rhonda's in labor. And I called up Rhonda's parents. She's on the way. She's in labor. And so they're coming from East Tennessee and called up friends and let them know that. And it's like early in the morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's excited to hear my voice. Then she's born and people are there and I'm showing her off. And I mean, this is the most beautiful child ever born and smartest, and you know, I can tell she's doing calculations in her mind. I mean, she's just brilliant. And I was so excited as a new dad about who I show her to everybody. I show her to everybody. Don't touch. You can look. Don't touch. Can you imagine what God must have felt when his son was born? Now, when you announce a birth, as a new dad, I had a list that I had to go through. Rhonda carefully made me a list. Her parents first, then my parents, and you work your way down the list. The most important people in our lives, we wanted them to know. Of all the people in the world God could have shared this with, this moment with, it was two teenagers and a group of crazy shepherds. He didn't do that by accident. So many times in our lives, we get caught up in what we understand to be good or worthy. And I think many times we miss the hand of God altogether. You see, God sees all people as incredibly valuable. He finds just as much worth in shepherds as he does in kings. He finds just as much faith in shepherds as he does rabbis. He finds just as much love and joy in a shepherd as he does the person who goes into the synagogue on a daily basis. He is a God who doesn't play favorites. We see that in another place. I want you to, if you have your Bibles, quickly turn over to Matthew chapter 1, just real quickly. I want to show you something here. Mark, keep your place there at Luke because we're going to come back to it. And we're still going to look to 1 Samuel 17, but I want you to look to Matthew 1 for just a second if you have your Bible. I want you to see the heritage of Jesus. Now, I'm not going to read all the names because I butcher them too bad when I do, but there are a couple of verses here that I just want to point out to you. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Verse 5. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. Verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity of Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity of Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. Let me go back and point out a couple of people here that I just want you to see. First of all, he mentions the big three: Jesus Christ, David, and Abraham. I mean, those are kind of the headliners. But then in verse 5, he includes some people that I'm kind of surprised God would include in Scripture. Now, I want to tell you something. You wonder about how honest God is. You know, a lot of times we read the Bible and we think, well, could this just be the highlights, the good parts? I want to tell you something. When you read Scripture, God tells it as it is. He doesn't cut corners. He doesn't leave people out. He doesn't make it simple. He doesn't make it all clean and neat. I'll tell you, Scripture is, you can believe it because it's honest. When you see the lineage of Christ, if I was telling about my lineage, I tell about people who are popular or famous or who somebody might recognize or famous things they've done, and we're all excited about that. But when you read the genealogy of Christ, I want you to see something. In verse 5, he includes Salmon, who begot Boaz by Rahab. Who's Rahab? Rahab was a harlot. She was a prostitute. Rahab was one of the ladies mentioned in the Old Testament that God used in a great way for the children of Israel. But I want to tell you something. She's included in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. But then there's another. There's also Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Who was Ruth? Ruth was the one who literally was not a Jew. She's a non-Jew who converted over to Judaism, who believed because of Naomi, but Ruth was the one who literally just has this new relationship with God, and yet she's included in the genealogy of Jesus the Christ. And then he says, in verse, same verse, says, Obed begot Jesse. In verse 6, and Jesse begot David the king. Who was David? David was a shepherd boy. Now, we think about David being king of Israel, but David was a simple shepherd boy. So when you see the genealogy of Jesus Christ, it just goes to show the way in which God does not play favorites. He never has, and quite honestly, he never will. God is an honest God who cares about these things. I think David being a shepherd, being chosen as king, was not by accident either. I want to show you the third thing today. I want to show you why shepherds. Why shepherds are so important to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, I want you to see this about David. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12 says this. It says, now David was the son of the Ephraite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul into battle. And the names of his 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the next to him, Abinadab, and the third, Shema. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul, but David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. And this is the story of what we know to be Goliath. It's when David fights Goliath. David was just a shepherd boy. He's a young man. He's probably 10, 11, maybe 12 years old at the time. It said he was a ruddy young man, meaning he had red hair. He was probably a little ADHD child. He was a child that, you know, gave everybody fits to be around, just drove everybody a little crazy. So his father had him tend the sheep. He's the youngest son, so he's out tending the sheep. But every chance he got, David wanted to go see where the action was. He goes up to the front. And he says, if nobody else is going to fight this giant, he says, I'll fight the giant. And they say, David, look, you can't fight the giant. How can you fight the giant? He's He's been trained in war since he was a youth. What is it that you think that you're going to be able to do? Look at verse 33. If you're still in 1 Samuel 17, look at verse 33, what Saul says to him, the king says to him. And Saul, who's the king, Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, listen to this, I love this. "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." And moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Why shepherds? It's because shepherds had to have great courage and great faith. Can you imagine as a young boy being told by your father, "Look, our household income is based on how much your ability to go out and take care of these sheep. If you lose sheep, we don't eat." That's a lot of pressure for a little kid, isn't it? But yet David stood up to that, and when a lion or a bear came into it, what did David do? Did he shun it or did he run? No, he said, "I learned to fight the lion, I learned to fight the bear, and if they rose up against me, I just killed them both." Davy Crockett got his start right here, amen? When you see David, can you imagine the courage that young man had? Now, not only did he have courage because he had won those fights against the lion and bear, and he had confidence in his warrior-type skills, but notice this. He had faith in God. He understood where the battle was won. He understood who allowed him to protect the sheep. He understood who it was that allowed him to provide so those sheep would be taken care of, so that David's family would be taken care of. He understood who it was that allowed him to do his job, that gave him his life so that he could give life to others. Why does God have such a heart for shepherds? It's because they're courageous and they're faithful. I want you to see this finally. I also want you to see why shepherds. Why shepherds? It's because God loves and finds value in shepherds too. I want you to look down to verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, just real quickly, one more time. Let's go back and look at that one more time. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." Verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" So it was, when the angels had gone away into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Say, Pastor, why does it matter so much? Let me tell you why it matters so much. The next time circumstances or people try to make you feel worthless, I want you to smile to yourself and think for just a minute. If God can love a stinky, nasty shepherd out in a field, then I think God can love me too. Why are the shepherds important? Because you're important. No matter what your place in life is, you need to understand God finds value in you. He has love in you. He has great honor for you. So many times we live in a world which makes us feel like second-class people, but not so with God. With God, you are His greatest prize. As you read the Christmas story this year, as you think on the Christmas story, I hope you see yourself in a group of shepherds that God said, "Come see my son. He's born today." Just like He found value in them, He finds value in you. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that You'd move in our hearts right now. Father, if there's anyone here today who's never trusted You as Lord and Savior, then today, Lord, let it be the day. God, for the person here who just needs a lifting word from You, to know that You are real, to know that You love them, Father, let today be the day they feel that they sense that they know that in their hearts. Father, we thank You for the blessings You give us all the time. And God, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came on that night, the two teenagers and a group of shepherds, that the world may truly have peace. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. If I can pray with you, I'd be honored to do that. If you want to pray up here in the front, this altar's always open. Whatever God may be laying on your heart today, I pray that you'll let Him in. What are we going to